Angie, I am so thrilled to have you on the show. Thank you. Angie Veman helps women entrepreneurs go from hustle to flow. Doesn't that sound fantastic? By automating and streamlining their operations, aka doing a whole lot more with less, which also sounds fantastic. But get this, clients get back 30% of their time. We could all use that. Increase revenue four times. This is why sometimes you think you can't afford to get help, but really you can't afford not to get help. And she also helps women entrepreneurs find greater passion so they can spend more time spreading their special sauce, or in my case, spreading my special custard. Angie, welcome.
Thank you so much, Erin. I'm really excited for this conversation.
So am I. We've got so many things to talk about. First of all, you give so much. You really give so much of service to women entrepreneurs. You have a fantastic podcast, which we're going to talk about. And you've just launched this incredible masterclass, which is free for female entrepreneurs who want to sell products online. Would you tell me a little bit about this and what prompted you to make this fantastic gift to women entrepreneurs?
Yeah, so in the work that I do, I focus predominantly on working with women. And one of the things that I saw, I guess what I saw originally when I started my business as a whole is that, women do, we have incredible ideas. We are running incredible businesses, and we're also doing that and carrying a lot of extra weight around with us. We're not always doing things in the easiest way. We end up sacrificing a lot of ourselves in order for our businesses and our families and all of those things to really thrive. So what I saw around the time of the pandemic, and what now everybody is seeing is, women really paid the price during that time, and they were leaving the workforce in droves, sometimes by choice and sometimes not, to be with their families while their kids were, out of school and things like that. And it really, I think more than anything, it really crushed me because, we lost a lot of progress in that. And I also see, so my background is in e-commerce, and so I see online businesses and, specifically the e-commerce realm being a really incredible opportunity for women to have a business, to have an income, and to have a lot of flexibility that other careers and other businesses don't offer. And so, I took this idea, I took my background in e-commerce and my kind of specialty in creating efficiencies, making things really smooth and easy, and made a course that teaches you how to set up an online business in less than a day. So, sitting down, putting it together, and a day later, you can start generating revenue.
It
And
really is.
that's,
Yeah.
yeah.
To be able to start a business in less than a day. I forgot to say, forgive me for looping back. Of course you're going to want of course you're going to want to take this masterclass, but I need to tell you where.
Oh, yeah.
Please go to clutchbusinesses.com. And what's great about Angie, she has such an amazing website. For example, you do one thing which is incredibly smart, which I haven't seen on many other websites, is that Angie has a tab that says Start Here, which is sheer and utter genius. And I'm nicking that idea immediately after I get off this call. But Angie, clutchbusinesses.com. When I hear the word clutch, I happen to think of a handbag. So where did the name clutch come from?
Yeah, that's so it for me now. It's all about a handbag. I think it started, well, I don't think, I know it started more from, I guess it, just the terminology, like that's so clutch, like that's so cool. I liked the way that it sounded. So there wasn't a lot of meat behind it initially, but then I started to think about, as my business took shape, I started to think about. Actually, I can't take credit for that. I had a dear friend who was like, "Oh, like a clutch handbag. It's, your clutch handbag is the, you've got all the things that you need in there, but just the things that you need. It's your, it's the cute purse that you pull out of out of the closet or out of storage, you know, for fun events and things like that, where you're really living. And to me, that really encapsulates what it is that I set out to do. So, you know, you feel good about yourself, you're out experiencing life, and you just have exactly what you need along with you.
And you have the freedom to travel. When you have exactly what you need, you're freed up to move and move with passion and to make a bigger life. Mm. I love it. And not to mention the fact it's incredibly memorable.
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't want to name a company after a purse?
Right.
Now, Andy offers online business management and strategy. The first time I heard the word OBM, I thought it was a medical speciality, but it isn't. It's short for online business management. What does that actually mean?
Yeah. So, you know, I guess it depends on the organization, but ultimately what it means is just making sure that the right things are getting done by the right people and in the right way. So for me, what it really means is, you know, again, women business owners are, well, and OBMs exist, you know, whether it's a man running the business or a woman, but they are really focused on creating the idea, creating products, creating a vision. And sometimes most of the time, I'll say, there's a disconnect between being able to create this beautiful vision and then actually implementing that vision or bringing that vision to fruition. And that's really where an OBM or an online business manager comes into play, is they take that vision and they put it into action. They make sure that everything is in place to support that idea, to support that vision, so that the owner can stay in their zone of genius, can stay in that creative space. Because I don't know about you, Aaron, but I think, you know, obviously we're both business owners, and sometimes you have these incredible ideas and then you stop yourself because, well, how would I do that? How would I make that happen? And that's really, you know, if you have an OBM, if you're working with an OBM, you really never have to ask that question again, because you just come up with the amazing ideas, and it's their responsibility then to make sure that, you know, it can happen and that all of the right people are in place to do that.
I'm immediately thinking of I Dream a Genie. All I have to do is open the bottle and there's this fantastic OBM who can take over for me, because I'm not an implementer. I love being forward facing with clients. I want to spend my time with clients. That's my zone of genius. But behind the scenes, somebody to actually carry on these ideas that I get.
Right.
I mean, it's like squirrel, shiny. And somebody to actually manage that and haul me back in and make sure things get done. And I love what you said about zone of genius, because so many entrepreneurs are visionary and they're all about the passion, but we need the implementers behind us with the systems and the strategies to make sure that our dreams come true.
Mm-hmm. And I think as a business owner, that's like a huge place to get to in your business, where I think for a lot of people, there's maybe a little bit of shame behind not being able to do both of those things, but they're so different. You know, the skill set and the way of thinking is so different in those two lanes that, you know, I think having somebody on your team that's able to do that definitely takes the shame out of that game.
Services that Angie offers, she will help you with automation and efficiency. I love automation. I love to eliminate, delegate, and automate. And she'll also help you with expenses to make sure your expenses are lean and mean, because especially if you're an entrepreneur, you're often bootstrapping. So it can be easy to not realize that you're duplicating services. And this is one thing I love. This is for all of us that are shiny squirrel. She will help with new channel and new product development. Would you explain the difference between a new product and a new channel? What do you mean by channel?
Yeah, so basically a new sales channel or a new revenue channel. So sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes you can take a product that already exists in your business. And I guess maybe a good example is if you are a service-based business and you are offering one-on-one services solely, sometimes you can take that product or that service in that case and sell it online. And the presentation of that might look a little bit different, but the outcome or the end result is the same for the client. And so it's just basically taking what you already have and offering it to a different audience or offering it in a different way.
Or opening an e-commerce store. I'm going to circle way back. You started off studying sociology and philosophy. Has this helped you at all in your work?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, I think the study of sociology is really observing patterns, observing the way that things interact with one another, and not in necessarily a way that psychology does, but really looking at the interconnections between people and things. And so I definitely think that plays into what I do on a daily basis. So, you know, for me, it's really easy to see how this one thing that we're going to do is going to impact this, this, and this. Or if we make this decision, we just have to make sure that we have this, this, and this in place. So I can see how all of those things impact and influence one another pretty easily. And I think that definitely comes from either an interest in sociology or the study that I did, you know, in that field.
And philosophy, if I'm right, it's about how people think. And that's extremely important to have that insight when you're executing, and I'm quoting like a quiet ninja in the background.
right. Yeah. And I think there is probably something to that. I guess I never thought about it, but I guess it's when you have an appreciation for all of these different ways of thinking about things and all of these different approaches, it's actually really helpful when you're working with a visionary, because you're not judging what they're saying. You're taking it and, you know, and really appreciating it. And I think that's definitely what you have to do in order to believe in what you're doing and to see just to see the beauty in what their idea has behind it.
The beauty of ideas. I can tell you've got a very passionate heart. When you finished college, I believe you started off in nonprofits because you were heartbroken over the cuts that you were seeing. And that's where you started off. But you went from nonprofits to working for Target, otherwise known as Target, and actually working on the floor to experience what it was like from a customer service level. How did you segue from nonprofits through to the red and white circle?
Yeah, so the nonprofit world was really like where I wanted to be. I was really interested in community organizing, and so I graduated during a year that there were a lot of budget cuts taking place, and so there just weren't jobs available, or the jobs that were available, I was, you know, going up against somebody that had 20 years of experience. And so I had a friend that worked at Target headquarters, which is based in Minnesota, where I'm originally from. And they, you know, they have a really incredible entry-level position that offers, like, they train you like nobody I've ever encountered before and really invest in you. And so I wasn't really interested in business at all, but I, you know, I was kind of in a tough spot. And so I took her up on the opportunity and started working in their buying offices. And it was such an incredible experience. You know, it wasn't something that I would have sought out on my own, but it has 100% shaped the way that I work now and the way that I guess just my approach and the way that I think about things and you know, I'm not afraid to think big because I had all of those resources and, you know, all of those things right off the bat. So it was pretty incredible.
What a fantastic way to experience systems on a larger scale, processes, procedures, and the flow of a company at that scale.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's where I really learned to value the efficiency of running a business, and it is easy to lose sight of if it's not a part of the culture, but they really I mean, their whole business is, I mean, they're successful for a lot of different reasons, but the efficiencies and the automations that they have in place really are, you know, you can go into any Target and you can talk to, you know, a person working the counter or out on the floor and ask them a question, and they can, they're all able to give you pretty much the same exact answer, or, you know, point you to the same exact place. And, you know, that's, I know that there is a place for individuality, and, you know, in the business that they're in, that type of efficiency is really key for them.
It sounds like they rival Disney in the way that they create experiences within their stores. I'm very impressed. Tajay, my hat is off to you. I had no idea what went on behind the scenes. You became very successful in that field. You were working incredibly hard, and then you pivoted and you realized that yoga teachers needed you just as much. Would you tell us about your massage business?
Yeah, so I had what I call an early midlife crisis. I was working like crazy, and it was exciting and great, and also just not something that I could do for the rest of my life. And so I left and started teaching yoga and doing Thai massage, and that was a community that I needed at that moment in time for a lot of different reasons. One is that it was really healing for me. It was a place to just kind of gather myself again. But it also taught me that, you know, all of these yoga teachers, all of these massage therapists, all these other heavily service-based people still need help running their businesses as well. And so, you know, I could use the tools that I had, that I had developed early in my career to, you know, kind of help them really reach their full potential with their business, which was, you know, exciting and great. And you know, that going through that experience, having that early midlife crisis, is totally why I do the work, you know, why I'm so committed to helping other women thrive in their businesses, because I left a job that I freaking loved. I mean, it still to this day was one of the greatest jobs that I have ever had in my life. And I lost sight of that, and I walked away from it, and I walked away from it pretty easily. And I don't necessarily have regrets for leaving it, but the only reason that I left is because I was burnt out. I was working in a sloppy way, and I was, you know, I was doing more than I needed to do and just really tiring myself out. And I see how easy it is to do that. And I don't want other people to walk away from these incredible businesses that they built just because it's, you know, it's sucking their time and their joy. I mean, if it's sucking their time and their joy, I want them to walk away from it. But I'm sure that there are ways for it not to suck their time and joy, so that they don't have to leave.
Especially at this time of the year, we're recording this in December, and I'm talking to female entrepreneur after entrepreneur, and we're tired. You know, at the end of the year, we are feeling burnt out, and it is very easy to want to throw in the towel and become a barista at Starbucks around about this time of the year. Right. But knowing that there's hope on the horizon, and knowing that there are people you can reach out to, like OBM, so you can keep your passion alive, instead of being pulled down by all the day-to-day things that really aren't, you really shouldn't be working on, because they're not maximizing your revenue. Another of the great gifts that Angie gives us is she's got a fabulous postcard. I'm sure you've got fabulous postcards if people still use them, but she's got a fabulous podcast, and it's called Totally Clutch, which is the Clutch Businesses podcast, but Totally Clutch, gotta love that. And she does talk about how energy impacts business. And this was something I meant to ask you. One of your podcasts talks about, this is a total segue, but it talks about how to use sound in marketing. Does this stem back to your Target days with you know, music is carefully designed for the stores? Or what do you mean by using sound in marketing?
Yeah, absolutely. So I actually had never even thought about sound and marketing. I connected with the woman who I interviewed for that kind of randomly, but as soon as I heard it, you know, as soon as I heard what she did, I was blown away. And really what it is, it's incorporating all aspects of our senses into your marketing. So I think it's pretty obvious to most people that, you know, the visual is incorporated in your marketing. I know that this isn't one of the senses, but, you know, the copy has to be good and on point. Those are things that are really obvious to most people when they're thinking about marketing. But, you know, I think not a lot of people really think about the importance of your voice, of, you know, background noise, of all of those types of things. And just like you said, incorporating an amazing song. I mean, we, in that interview, we were talking about it, and I think that's one of the reasons why, like, the TikTok and Instagram reels and things like that are so popular, is not because they love watching people like point around the screen at words flying all over the place, but because the music is freaking amazing and it's hard not to move your body to it. And it's hard not to, you know, get drawn into it. So there are definitely ways to craft sound into your marketing that are not necessarily obvious to most people.
Mood can be changed so quickly by a great dance song, mm-hmm. and having a great, having a soundtrack to a video can make all the difference. Speaking mm-hmm. of sound effects, my marketing is being affected right now because I have a French bulldog snoring in the corner. I'm hoping you can't hear it, but that might be part of the ambience of this particular podcast.
Soothing in a way.
I noticed on a lovely photo of you with some friends, women friends are obviously very important to you, as they are to me. And I think, like me, you've every now and then you get to get away with some of your female friends. I went on a great weekend away with some close friends to somewhere sunny. And I think you've had that experience. Is it important to have a squad?
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, your trip sounds amazing. But yes, I think it is key. I mean, you get something different from something that is hard to find, just randomly or out in the world, from people that know you, that support you, that want you to succeed, and you want the same for them. I mean, I have so much fun with my girlfriends. I mean, you know, I think every group of friends that you have, there's a different dynamic. But my closest girlfriends and I we have a blast when we are together, and we cover all the, like, the full range of things when we're together. There's laughter, there's, you know, serious conversations, there's a little bit of everything. And I think that that's priceless. I mean, it totally fills me up when I have a chance to really dive in with my close friends.
I've missed that in the last 2 years. I did get away in October, but even as an introvert, I'm missing in real life with other women. A couple of girlfriends came over the other day and we watched an online conference together, and it was the best online conference I've been to, because I was with other women and we were experiencing it together live. So to everybody out there, please find a squad. I think that's how I met you, was through, I met you through We Should All Be Millionaires. You're a fellow Schmilly, aren't you? And that's all about combining women together to help women grow in their business. So quick shout out to Rachel Rogers and We Should All Be Millionaires. Are you enjoying that experience?
I am. And for a lot of the reasons that, you know, or one of the reasons is just from what you touched on, is it is a huge community. I mean, the Facebook group community is like more active. I think people invest more time sometimes in that than the actual course materials, because it is thriving in there. And I also I appreciate so much what you said about, you know, being an introvert, you're still even missing your friends over the last 2 years. I think that's one of the things that I've kind of pulled out of the last 2 years in learning about myself, is I am quite an introvert as well. And, you know, kind of never really, I shouldn't say I never really appreciated, but I have appreciated the importance of having people in your life on a regular basis more in the last 2 years, and in a way that kind of surprised me.
It was my online community that got me through COVID. I can't, especially since I'm from New Zealand, so it's a little hard for me to get home at the moment. And the online female community I had over the last 2 years, Yeah, I wouldn't have got through the pandemic without it. Otherwise, we would have been very isolated. Mm-hmm. I know when you, I just want to, if you don't mind, I refuse to be friends. On your website, you talk about how you wanted, part of the reason you pivoted was that you wanted to open up some time in your life to meet the man of your dreams and look after your dog. Did that come to fruition?
It totally did. I mean, I have had a few, you know, relationships since then, but yeah, I think really what I was finding is that I was just so focused on work that there just wasn't space for any of that stuff. And I had a big, beautiful dog and, you know, I was young and vibrant then. So, you know, I could definitely, it was highly possible for me to meet somebody really special, but I just wasn't putting myself out there. So yeah, I have had an amazing, have and still have an amazing life that I'm very happy in.
Free up time and energy and money for your life and your passion. Reach out for help. I don't think women reach out for help enough. We're indoctrinated not to. So it is, please step outside your comfort zone, even if you just get help for a couple of hours a week. You can find the amazing Angie, her podcast, Totally Clutch. She interviews incredible women and she also shares her insider knowledge. Otherwise, go to clutchbusinesses.com. She's got a great vlog. Oh, and one thing, if you sign up, she's got 3 simple strategies to save your business and your life. And sometimes it feels like that, doesn't it? That sometimes we're really at the end of our tether. So 3 simple strategies to save your business and your life, and a free audio training, which is brilliant because you can listen to the audio while you're walking your dog or while you're doing your yoga. Angie, thank you so much for coming on today. It was an absolute gift. I've been really looking forward to this and I'm so glad we connected.
Yeah, thank you so much, Erin. This was so fun. I'm so grateful for the opportunity.
We are going to be talking again. Yeah. Have a lovely rest of your day, my friend.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.